How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 180 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com. You can also log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site there. You can see all my Thunder coverage on that part of the site. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Friday episode, before we head into the weekend, I got my buddy Tim Bontemps from the Washington Post on the Skype line. Tim, how you doing?
Doing good, Freddie. I'm sorry you've had a rough week, my man. Traveling can be tough, so I've been
there.
Some
bad travel luck. Yesterday was probably the weirdest podcast I ever did because I was podcasting with Peter Edmiston, who does Locked On Grizzlies, after the Grizzlies game. And as I was podcasting, I was on – the hold for Delta was 9 hours. And I got a call back from Delta in the middle of the podcast. And I was like, I got to take this. And Peter just kept recording. And we threw my horrifying customer service call on the podcast. So we were getting super weird yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happens sometimes. That's, now you know to never check a bag. That's a rookie beat writer mistake that you made. Doesn't matter how long the trip is, you can't check a bag. So.
I know, and I normally don't check bags. Like, American lost a bag of mine last year, but it was on a gate check, which is still absurd that they can lose a bag.
That's hard to do, but there's nothing you can do about that one. I mean, that's completely out of your hands, but. You know, if you're on a beat, that's one of the first things you learn is that you never check a bag. You know, obviously, if sometimes circumstances might dictate it, but I've never checked a bag ever, and it's just something you have to do. You got to make sure that you don't allow the airlines to take over your life, as unfortunately you had to experience for the last 24 hours or so.
This is the first – I think it's the first time I've checked a bag to go on the road.
First and last, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to be wearing dirty clothes. Because I carry on every trip, but this is the longest road trip I've been on this year. They had a seven-day road trip earlier this year, and I was like, I'll check through that. And I checked through that road trip. It was a nine-day, but I went on seven of them. And this one, I'm on all eight. I was like, hey, it's more than a week. I'm just going to check. Whatever, I'll check.
Right.
Didn't work out well. I had to watch the game from a sports bar in Atlanta yesterday.
That's an interesting way to cover a team.
Yeah, exactly.
At least you could have a beer in hand while you were doing it.
Yeah, I was gonna say to you, I'll tell you this much. I was the least sober Thunder beat writer last year. You want to talk MVP stuff?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, what else does anybody talk about anymore? I want the regular season to end, and for no other reason than I'm just tired of this debate. And honestly, the biggest thing that I'm tired of, I'm tired of people trying to say that, to try to dictate the terms of the debate. You know, saying that there's only, we just were talking about this before, but, you know, there are four guys who are Hall of Fame players having maybe the best seasons of their career. And you know what? If any one of them wins MVP, it would be perfectly justified. And if anybody votes for one of them to be in first place, it would be perfectly justified. And it's gotten tiresome. You know, frankly, a lot of it coming from people supporting Westbrook, which isn't a knock on anybody doing so. I think he obviously deserves to win the award if he does. But There is no right answer this year, and there is no wrong answer this year. If you vote for Russ or James Harden or Kawhi or LeBron, your pick is fine and is perfectly justifiable. There's great reasons for all of them, and it is one of the things that kind of frustrates me about the way things are now, which is that every debate turns into a debate about, you know, an argument over why you're wrong instead of why the person you picked is, you know, why other people are wrong instead of why the person you picked is right. And it's just kind of a pet peeve of mine. So I'm going to be happy that, I'm going to be very happy when we move on from this and we can, you know, focus on the playoffs and everything beyond.
Yeah. So I had a similar conversation with our mutual friend, Jared Dubin, when I had Jared on the podcast earlier this week.
Yep. No, and, that was good. You guys, that was a good conversation.
Yeah. And we basically think the same thing. I have no problem if you think it's Russ, you think it's Harden, you think it's Kawhi, you think it's LeBron. Awesome. I think the only thing I'll have a problem with is your process of choosing those guys. If you think it's Russ, and it has to be Russ because he's averaging a triple-double, so how in the world could it not be Russ, then I have a problem with your process. If you think it's Harden because the Rockets have way more wins than the Thunder, so it has to be Harden, then I have a problem with your process. But if you think it's Russ because of intelligent reasons as to why it should be Russ, yeah, Russ is averaging a triple-double, he's leading the league in scoring, and he's got all these late-game heroics, and Harden's unbelievable too, but I just think what Russ is doing is a little more impressive. Great. Awesome. Like that's I can't actually disagree with that. And same thing with LeBron, same thing with Kawhi. I'm wondering, before I actually get into who you think actually is MVP, you like I was joking with Brett Dawson. It's funny because I was going to say again, our mutual friend Brett Dawson, after I said our mutual friend Jared Dubin. And the question that I'm leading into is that...
Well, they are both mutual friends, though. It isn't wrong.
Yes. No, they are both mutual friends.
To be clear.
Brett and I have become like very close friends on the beat together. So naturally, Brett and I were joking about how you just know every single NBA writer in the entire world. Like there might be NBA writers like out there in Singapore and you know them. And you're like one of the only people because of that that's able to do these polls that you've done at Washington Post. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on was I referenced that post that you did in my story that's going to run in the paper tomorrow, which is basically a straw poll of writers and people who may not all be voters. And I know that they aren't all voters because I was in that poll and I'm not a voter.
Right.
But people who would be voters and a lot of people who actually are voters. And just to kind of get an idea of what it was. And when you ran that, that was March 16th. James Harden was in first by a pretty decent amount. Russ came in second. Now I'm wondering, I think because you talk to every single person who covers an NBA team and has an active heartbeat, I wonder if you get the impression, because you've probably talked to more people than me, if over the last 3 weeks or so, if that gap is smaller now after these last few weeks that Russ has had with the 7-game triple-double streak and you know the games in Orlando and in Dallas and then the Memphis game last night. And I'm wondering where – not who you think is going to win or not who you think should win. But who you think is going to win, and if you think that there's been any difference made over these last 3 weeks?
I would still say that Harden is going to win. I think to kind of go back to the original point I was just making, I think that if you look at the voters, most of the voters who are in the Russ camp are devoutly in the Russ camp, right? Like they're kind of religious about it, and that either because of the triple doubles or the clutch stuff or whatever, you know, it's pretty clear that that's who they want, right? And they like there's not really any moving them off of it. And so the other group is a little softer. And so I think there is some momentum that could go his direction. But I think when you look at it, I think that Harden is going to get the majority of the, he's going to get the majority of the other votes, I think, because people that, you know, Russ has got a very, I don't want to say narrow candidacy, but you look over the course of the award and nobody that has the team profile that that Russ has wins this award, right? So anybody that's kind of a soft voter, that's kind of like, I'm not sure which way to go, I think they're going to lean towards the guy with more wins. And so I think because of that, it probably won't be quite as much of a lead as it was a couple weeks ago when I did that straw poll. But I still do think that at the end of the day, James Harden is going to be the one who winds up winning.
Tim, I just want to take a quick second and talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go when I look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look at tickets for Diamondbacks Giants when I'm in Phoenix, and That Thursday night game, we got some Jeff Samardzija action going on. Who doesn't want to see Jeff Samardzija live? And SeatGeek is the best way to do it. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Thunder, that's LO like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Where do you land on the clutch stuff? I had this conversation with Matt Moore. I think the clutch stuff is like, I know we talked about this like way earlier in the season, but we haven't in a few months. Like, to me, the clutch game stuff, you can't use clutch time numbers to, and he's averaging 59 points per 36 on 56% true shooting in clutch time, which is absolutely, I mean, that's insane. But to me, you can't use clutch stuff to project into the future, and if you played out the season 100 times, the clutch numbers would not be the same if you played them out 100 times. This is probably an exceptional situation. If you want to go through all the alternate universes that Russell Westbrook is having his 2016-17 season in. But to me, you vote on MVP on kind of what happened. So to me, the clutch stuff, you know, the fact that he won that game in Dallas, and he was the one that won the game in Dallas, and he was the one that won the game in Orlando and Memphis, and that's just in the last like 2 weeks, and there's that Denver game from earlier this year, and there are, you know, we could go through a list of probably 10-15 games where his clutch time heroics were just amazing, and there were some others where he was unbelievable and they came up just short because, you know, like in Phoenix, they couldn't get stops, they gave up 118 points to Phoenix, but he had 20 some odd points in the fourth quarter. Do you think it's a legitimate argument, or would you go another route if you were making the Westbrook case?
Honestly, I think that the clutch stats are really the only argument in his favor, and that's not to say that the triple double stat is pointless or dumb, because it's not. Like, obviously, him, you know, being the second person to average a triple double for a season is a remarkable accomplishment. But why is it more remarkable than what James Harden is doing, who's averaging 29, 8.5, and 11.5? Like, what's really the difference? In my opinion, there's none. You know, I don't really think there is a difference. I think it's just kind of an arbitrary data point. So to me, if you're going to make the case for Russell Westbrook, it said, look, if he was not playing as well as he was in the clutch, the Thunder would be where I thought they were going to be at the start of the season, which is fighting for the 8th seed. And I think you can make a pretty good argument that I'm right about that. That if they were an average clutch team, they would be a borderline playoff team. And because they're not an average clutch team, they're comfortably a playoff team. Now, is that enough of an argument to swing it in his favor? That's where the debate comes in, right? But I think that's a much better argument than saying, well, this guy is averaging a triple-double as opposed to 29.5, 8.5, and 11.5, so therefore he should win.
Well, what's amazing to me about just not even the MVP, this season, you've got three guys. I mean, people talk about how incredible it is that Russ is averaging numbers that only Oscar Robertson has done before, and it is unbelievable. What's also unbelievable is that the points, rebound, assist numbers for both LeBron and James Harden are point, rebound, assist numbers that only Oscar Robertson has done too. So it's unbelievable the season that these guys are having. And then you throw in Kawhi, who's like near 50-40-90, and is, even if he's not having the best defensive season in the league, is the best defensive player in the league. Unbelievable the four seasons these guys are having. Like, this is – I hate that the MVP conversations have become such a chore, and they've turned into screaming matches upon no triple-doubles more impressive than Harden, and then Harden saying no wins are more impressive, and so oversimplified, you know, because – this should be fun. We are watching unbelievable individual seasons we have never seen in our lifetimes. Like, maybe we've seen, if you want to argue that Curry's offensive season last year was better than Russ's offensive season this year, that's fine. But it wasn't the same. They're different types of greatness, you know? Like, we've never seen this type of greatness that Westbrook is doing, and we've never seen the type of greatness that Harden is doing. And just these numbers that these guys are putting up, like, we should be as a basketball watching society, we should be in a position to where we should be appreciating all of these seasons, because they are unbelievable. And I hate that people get into the mindset of detracting from one of them just to try to make a case for whoever they think should win MVP.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying before. I think, you know, there's become this insistence. And like I said, a lot of it, I think, frankly, is from people who are voting for Westbrook to go, well, this guy's averaging a triple-double. How could you possibly vote for anybody else? Like, I remember when I did that straw poll, you know, Royce Young, our good friend, said, I don't know how anybody could vote Russ lower than second. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not true. Like, he's having an incredible season, but he isn't having a season that is so much better than everybody else that you can't possibly vote for somebody else. Like, LeBron is averaging 26-9-9, and Harden is averaging 29-8.5 and 11.5, and Kawhi is the best two-way player in the entire league. So there's no saying that one guy is right and one guy is wrong. It's just how you choose to make the argument. And that's why, for me, the clutch argument is far better than the triple-double argument, because the triple-double thing is just an arbitrary data point. Like, it's whatever you want to choose. You could say James Harden. I know Tom Habishaw had the stat. James Harden is the first guy to have average 25 points a game and create 25 points a game. Like, why is that any less relevant than 30, 10, and 10? You know, like, it's just what you choose to put out there. So that's why, to me, to your initial point, that's why I would go for the clutch stats if I had to make the Russ argument over the triple doubles.
What's interesting about it, and there's so much like publicly available statistical data now that you can pretty much just pick out whichever stat you want to choose an MVP candidate, you know? Like, I could look at it and be like, here's why Jeff Withey is MVP. He's averaging 2,160 points per 36 minutes in clutch time because he made two free throws in 1 second of play.
Right.
There you go. That's my argument. Like, you can find when you get to these guys who are so good, like, you can pick and choose stats to support, and that's great. Like, that's just what making an argument is. That's what constructing an argument is. But there are so many of these. There's so many numbers to choose from now that are publicly available and that are all over the place. Like, just kills me when they're like, well, it should be Russ because Harden doesn't play any defense. It's like, well, did you watch some of these Russell Westbrook games this year? And I feel like you're only saying that about James Harden because you saw a YouTube reel of him from like 4 years ago of him playing like eight plays of bad help defense for 2 minutes. Like, that's why people say that Harden doesn't play defense, because a YouTube clip went viral 4 years ago. People don't know what they're watching. I've seen Russell Westbrook just shrug his shoulders at shooters all season. And I think if they're both going hard, like, playoff Russ is a better defensive player than playoff Harden. I don't think there's any debate about that. But I'm not trying to project what they're going to do in the playoffs. I'm projecting what they are doing now. And their defense is pretty even now. I've watched both of them all season. I've sat around watching defensive clips of James Harden for a while now on Synergy. And they're the same. And people are, you know, they're throwing out stuff to break down other players. And it kills me. Let's get into who should, who shouldn't. Neither of us has a vote, so no one can get too mad at us about who we pick, because we might have some influence with other people, you probably more than me. But we don't have a vote. We can't actually decide any of this. Who do you know what your ballot's going to be? Do you want to say what your ballot's going to be? Are you waiting until the end of the season? Or you're not your unofficial ballot, of course?
I'm still not 100% sure what we're going to do in terms of my ballot, but I'm going to as of now, I'm either going to have Kawhi or Harden first, the other second, Westbrook third, and LeBron fourth.
Who's your fifth? I find fifth, honestly,
fifth is also fascinating.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like you can justify that. Everyone talks about the top four, but like, you want to put John Wall there. Great. I feel like Stephen Curry, with the way he's played with Durant out these last 10 games or so, has a great argument for being there. Like, Isaiah obviously is a popular choice for there. Giannis, a lot of people would want to put there. Like, these are guys, there's so many guys having great seasons. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean,
who would you say for fifth?
I would lean John Wall right now. I think he's been phenomenal this year. I think he's been underrated. You know, even though I'm out in Oakland, I do pay attention to the Wizards quite a bit, given the Washington Post is my employer. And I think John has been fantastic for them. And but again, I think you could go Isaiah. I think you could go Steph. I think you could go, you know, you could even make an argument for Durant, though I probably wouldn't put him there still. If he'd been healthy, you would have had five guys having incredible seasons who are Hall of Famers. Then it would have even been even harder. Giannis, I think I might still pick Giannis fifth. I mean, there are a lot of ways you could go with that fifth spot. And again, like the other spots, you wouldn't be wrong. But I think right now I'm going to give a slight lean to Wall.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Isaiah's been so great because Isaiah's got the clutch thing too. Although his defense is what kind of would throw me off the ballot there, because he gets beat by a lot of point guards and they have to hide him a lot. And he's a big reason for why that team isn't as good at defense as I think it probably should be. I think I might go Wall too, although I would have to look further into it just because, man, I've been so impressed with Curry lately. What he has been doing, and this is not a recency bias thing. It's just if you can't see me, I'm putting air quotes on this. For a down year, this is one hell of a down year. I'll take this down year.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's basically having the same season he had when he won his first MVP. Right.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
And in the last 3 weeks or a month, he's basically been at the same numbers he was at when he won last year's MVP, when he had one of the best statistical seasons of all time. So, yeah, the people who were saying that Steph was done and he couldn't be that level player again, including people in Oakland here where I'm at, that were like, oh, well, Steph just isn't the same. You know what? He is the same. Like, he's fine. He's still incredible. And just like all these other guys, he's having an incredible season. And to your point, it's it's really just a matter of how you look at all these spots, including the fifth spot. I mean, it's a great time to cover the league, and you know, I think for all the talk about the rest debate, I think one thing that's been made pretty clear is that the way teams are taking care of their players is working, because unlike a lot of years, the vast majority of these guys have been healthy all season and have been great. And we haven't even mentioned guys like Jimmy Butler and Paul George and Anthony Davis and Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward. And it's been tremendous. It's been a great year for the league so far.
All league is going to be so difficult. Like, all NBA team is going to be so hard. Someone of the names that you just named, someone there is not going to make all NBA. Like, Gordon Hayward is probably not going to make all NBA. And if he does, then it probably won't be Paul George. Like, there is some All-NBA caliber player, multiple, who isn't going to make All-NBA. Like, just look at the centers. Look at last year, it was DeAndre Jordan was first, and it was like people were scrapped for centers. And now, all of a sudden, you got Gobert there. You could potentially put Anthony Davis there. You've got Cousins available. You've got Draymond Green is, I guess, a forward center on the ballot this year. You have so many options at center. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is not a good team, but statistically, he's just been out of this world. There are there are so many good options. You know, DeAndre Jordan was a first teamer last year. Is he? I mean, he'll get votes, I'm sure, because he's the established guy, and he still had a very nice season. But he's definitely not going to be first team. It's so tough to figure out the center stuff. I mean, if Kyle Lowry hadn't gotten hurt, imagine how much more crowded the guards would even be. Like,
yeah.
Like, Kyrie Irving's not even going to come close to all
No, not even close. I mean, I guess we can switch to that if you want. I mean, I'm still putting together my ballot, but I think I'm going to go Russ and Harden, Steph and Chris Paul, and then John Wall and Isaiah Thomas for my guards. Maybe I'll switch Wall and Chris Paul because Chris has been hurt and missed a chunk of games. And Klay Thompson, I think, is kind of a clear seventh there and could maybe squeak past Chris Paul if he keeps playing like this at the end of the year. I mean, he's going to end up playing about 20 more games, so maybe that'll tip the scales. But I would still say probably Chris Paul makes a third team. And then the forward spots, I would have LeBron and Kawhi, and then Durant. And then Giannis and Draymond, and then Durant and Anthony Davis on the third team. And then for the center spots, I would have Rudy Gobert first. I'd have DeAndre Jordan second. And I think I'd have Karl Towns third. But still, that means you're leaving off at guard spots, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Lowry. Irving, Kyle Lowry. At the forward spots, you're leaving off Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward. At the center spot, you're leaving off DeMarcus Cousins, Nikola Jokic, Marcus Saul. Like, you know, there's another nine players right there that all are having terrific seasons that are not going to make all NBA teams. It's crazy.
It's a really interesting trend. And I think the talent at the top of the league right now is really great. There's no question about that. But there's a trend in the league now where there is a trend of just giving your best player the ball and letting him not just be a scorer, but also be a facilitator and also be a rebounder. And like you, so in, I wrote a story on this week that there are more multi-talented offensive players in the league and more multi-responsibilityed, multi-dutied offensive players in the NBA today than there has been in years. You go back to the 2000 season, there were only four players who had both a 25% usage rate and 25% assist rate. This year, there are 18. Like it's such a different league in terms of just giving the ball to your best player, letting him do it. And obviously, the extreme examples are Westbrook and Harden.
Right.
Not even LeBron. Like, LeBron isn't even on the level of Westbrook and Harden because he'll, you know, backseat to Kyrie every once in a while. I mean, those guys are doing it every single, you know, late in games, you know, 19-point game, and Russ is still just, you know, running the entire offense like it's a tie game. And Harden isn't that different in terms of just having the ball in his hands. But there are other ones, you know. Yeah, Giannis in Milwaukee, and like, there are so many more of these guys who are acting as a lead scorer and a lead facilitator. And I think that's something, that trend is also something that's bringing up all these numbers to where you see, like, well, I guess you can put Paul George on all league. And you can. It's totally justifiable. You want to do that, that's great too. But then if you aren't, then you're not putting Jimmy Butler, or you're not putting, you know, Gordon Hayward, or you're not putting somebody else. And I think that's how you get to those situations too.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing that I meant to bring up before. That's the other reason why I think the triple-double argument really, to me, doesn't hold any water. It's that we're in the baseball steroid era of stats. Like, this isn't Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double when nobody else is putting up numbers anywhere near that. I mean, we talked about what Harden's numbers are like. You tweeted earlier the stat that James Harden has 61 double-doubles and Russ has 60. You know, you look around the league and offense is up all over the place. And, like, all of the stats are off the charts. So, to me, that's why I don't, like, it's – I feel bad because I'm not trying to say that Westbrook isn't doing remarkable stuff this year, because he obviously is. But I just think that specifically the triple-double stuff, I think, isn't quite the accomplishment that it's being made out to be, just because when you look around the league, I mean, it's beyond the fact of whether you want to debate whether he's, you know, padding a little bit with some of these rebounds, which is a different subject entirely. I also just think it's the biggest example of the way the league is trending, And that's why, to me, his clutch performance has been remarkable. And I really think that if you're making the case for why Ross deserves the award, that's what it should be, because that is something that stands out as something different from what everybody else is doing. Whereas, obviously, his stats are incredible, but there's a lot of people putting up incredible stats. So I think it kind of diminishes the overall argument when you see everybody else putting up the kind of numbers that they are.
You got anything to anything else to say? Anything to plug? Anything else before we go?
No, man. I think I'm good. Other than just to read Fred's stuff, it's tremendous. check out his work. I'm doing a postmortem series for the Post. Every time somebody gets eliminated from the playoffs, I put up a blog about, or a story about their summer. Look at their cap situation. Look at free agents that they have, and answer 5 questions about the team. So. I'm guessing this will go up either tonight or tomorrow so people can read mine on the Knicks and then go back and look at the other ones that I've done. I think that's it. Oh, I guess the one other thing I should push is that I started a newsletter, the Monday Morning Post Up, which has gotten a makeover and is on the Post website, which looks great. And if people want to subscribe to it, they can just go to WAPO.ST/postupnewsletter and subscribe. But I think it's pretty good. It has original content in it. Comes out every Monday morning. And during the playoffs, there's probably going to be a lot of daily stuff that comes with it. A lot of some playoffs, but playoff content, kind of looking at every game, and it should be good. So so if people are interested in basketball, I think they will enjoy it and should check it out.
I am excited to read. I'm sure I have a lot of friends from home who will be reading your Knicks postmortem.
Yeah, well, I have a couple columns tomorrow. I have a postmortem, and then I have a column just on James Dolan. So Friday will be Knicks day for the Washington Post. So it'll be like we're both back in New York again, I'm sure.
Well, there's not a fan base that smothers itself in its own depression more than this. Normally, like, the average fan thinks, like, this amazing thing happened. Oh, God, I can't
that's
wait.
One way to put it, buddy.
Well, isn't it true? Like,
hey, I didn't say it was wrong.
The average fan base, the normal fan, like the Thunder fan, she's like, oh my goodness, Russ tied Oscar. I can't wait to go read all about it and watch all the highlights. This is amazing. And then whenever I tweet anything about Kevin Durant or something, I get a million tweets of, why are you doing this, blah, 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 which is stupid. But, like, that's what a normal fan is. And
yes.
Knicks fans are like, oh, someone wrote a hit piece about our owner? I can't wait to read it.
That is very true. That is very true. They don't have a lot else to live for. So they don't have a lot else to live for. So, you know, it is kind of funny, but you know, it's their unfortunate lot in life at this point.
Yeah, it really is. Well, if you want to read my stuff, you can go on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog there, and you can remember I'm on with Locked On Thunder every weekday, Monday through Friday, and you can head on to iTunes to subscribe to the podcast there. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter @FredKatz. Tim, what's your handle again?
It's just my name, buddy.
Tim, I don't know. I see the name come up. I don't look at handles. I don't see handles. I'm not that kind of guy. So his handle is Tim Bontemps, and it's not said with the snarkiness that he just gave. You can just type it in without the snarky font. Anyway, off for the weekend. Thunder playing Phoenix on Friday night. This will go up, I guess, Friday morning. Thunder playing Phoenix on Friday night. They play in Denver on Sunday. I'll be back with another episode after that Denver game on Sunday. It'll go up Monday morning. But until then, Tim, thanks for coming on.
Anytime, Freddie.
So until Monday, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates, shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.